Welcome back to a very, very late edition of 24's podcast. I am your host, 24. This is my podcast. 24's podcast. Meant to upload yesterday's podcast, which was technically supposed to be like an early Thursday morning, late Wednesday night podcast. I was like, let me try and upload this kind of early. And that did not happen whatsoever. I uploaded it super late. So here I am once again. Saturday morning. Super early podcast. Man, oh man. You know what? This week, kind of a little bit of a celebratory week. I got way too high last week, right? A lot of good things happened for me in regards to that week. A lot of good things in the sense of technically it was like 2 weeks ago, I guess now. It's like I aced a test that I needed to ace to have straight A's, had my refund check cleared. It kind of almost looked like I was about to get away with murder. Like financially, I was like, maybe my bank made a clerical error. They did not. They did not. It looked like it. My bank account didn't have one payment that was processed. It looked for like a really long time that I was about to get away with murder. I did not, unfortunately. Speaking of getting away with murder, I thought to myself for like the longest time, for like a lot of this week, I was like, man, I'm tired, I'm burnt out, I kind of just want to take a break, a mini long break from school, and things of that nature. And so I said to myself, I was like, you know, well, what happens if this semester, or technically, I don't take college algebra in the summer? It's like I get to spend the rest of my refund check money on frivolous endeavors. Like, I kind of want to get a new tattoo. I really do. I want to get a new tattoo. I've been planning it out for, like, the better part of 2 months, and I have reference photos, and I have a concept, and things of that nature. And so, I thought to myself, I was like, let's go out and get it. Like last week, and I thought I was like, this was last week when I thought I was going to like, not get charged for a certain amount of money or whatever. And that did not happen. I was like, that did not happen. But I was like, if I don't have to pay for summer school by not going to summer school, then that's kind of an option. Just by like not going, I guess. And not paying for it. However, I went into my counselor today. I was talking to my counselor and I was like, yo, you know, what's going on with college algebra? I'm here to register. I kind of like resigned myself to just taking the course regardless. And then I go into my college algebra, or not my college algebra, but my counselor. And they were like, yeah, you know, you can take college algebra. You can take college algebra, but, it's a different college algebra, so technically speaking, it won't replace your original grade of college algebra, which is what I thought it would do. I thought it would replace the grade, my failed grade, and it will not. And so I was like, well, then what's the point of me taking college algebra this semester or this summer, you know, besides like getting it out of the way? And it's just like, I don't know if I'm technically going to be classified as a junior because I need the freaking course. I probably will have to take it, but it probably won't wipe out my my old course. It's frustrating. It's like it won't wipe out my old course, but I have to take it to be technically a junior. Otherwise, it's like I won't be able to get my courses and classes and all that good stuff. So, which... it's super annoying. It's like it's a core credit. It's a core class. It's a part of the core curriculum. All that good stuff. But it's like, I don't know. So I was like, eh, maybe I'll just take it at the four-year university level, or maybe I'll take it later. But I don't know. Now it's just up in the air. I really don't want to take it, but I have to take it. But it's like, I just don't want to take it. But I was super excited to not take it and potentially spend money on like a new tattoo. But again, be careful what you wish for, because I may not even have the option. I may actually have to not take it or whatever. It all depends on kind of like what's going on Monday, I guess. I don't know. Just exhausted. I'm ready for the semester to be over with. Speaking of the semester being over with, I talked about like a week ago how I was so excited that I was not paired with this like guy that was this know-it-all in my world civilizations class. Oh, and by the way, speaking of world civilizations, I get my grade back for my test. Right? I'm pretty sure that I have completely bombed the test. Absolutely completely sure. I'm like, I didn't know really like a third of the test and the final bit of the test. I just threw a Hail Mary out there and I just used literally part of the test to write an essay. It was not a very good outing by yours truly. And I'm not even going to lie to you. I didn't study it and I didn't know the material for it. I was like, I'm just throwing haymakers out there. I get my grade back for it today. It's 100. And the thing about it is, right, for context, I've been on this whole grind, this whole pathway of like, I want to make straight A's. I want to get the monkey off my back. I want to get that accomplishment. And then on top of that, right, to get considered for a 3.0 scholarship at my next college that I'm going to, which is a full ride, I need to have essentially a 4.0 GPA. So that's like a 93% on every single class or higher. And some of my classes are kind of hovering around the 91, 92%. This class shoots up to the 93.92% because of this 100 on the test. And let me tell you something, I'm pretty sure I still bombed the test. So the question is, well, how did I make 100% on the test? Because there's no way I should have made 100. No way I probably should have even gotten close. The reality is, probably made a 50 on the test, and I got an additional 50 points via an extra credit assignment that I did earlier on in the semester. And that's probably where I got the 100%. Honestly, let me tell you something. I cannot tell you how many times this semester, like, extra credit work has kind of saved my ass in regards to that. And kind of like how teachers grade certain things. Cannot tell you how many times kind of saved my ass. Especially today. Where it's like, I get all of my grades back and everything's clean. Everything's good. It's like, I mean, I got 90 pluses. I got a 98 in one class. I got a 98 points. I think I got 100 plus in another class. I got a 98.84 in another class. I mean, I'm literally rolling in A's right now. Except in world literature. I have a 91.43. You know what I need to do literally on the next test in world literature? I just freaking smashed. I have to smash two tests to make straight A's. To make a straight 4.0. And I have to smash the final. Anyways. Yeah, that was a shock. That was a shock to me. I was like, oh my God. I literally have the grades that I want, pretty much. It's just I have to literally finish out the next 3 weeks, and I have a shit ton of fucking tests in like 2 weeks, and then after that week of like a ridiculous amount of tests, I then have finals. I am still waiting, patiently waiting, but waiting nevertheless. On my Odin 2. Where is my Odin 2? Where is it? Where's my Odin 2? It's not here, and I still haven't gotten an email about it yet. It's supposed to be shipped out from China. I still don't have it. I'm exhausted. Let me talk to you about music here for a little bit. Some really, really awesome hip hop. Today, I was listening to Sade. Sade's greatest hits. I have the record on vinyl. I don't even know what I was doing. I think I was playing chess. I was listening to Sade. And this song comes on. And I was like, I know this song. I've heard this song before. Not just because I've listened to this album before and this, yeah, this album before on vinyl. It's not that reason. It's for another reason. It's because I heard it on MF Doom's Doomsday. The song Doomsday on the album Operation Doomsday. I heard it on that album. And I was like, and when that connection kind of like came to me, I thought to myself, I was like, wow, like that's so smart of MF Doom to feature that song in that way, on that album, because it's a great song, first and foremost, but then second of all, it fit very well with Doomsday as well, and I was just so happy to hear that song again, because it was such a great song, and it still is such a great song. The song, by the way, if you want to know, is Kiss of Life by Sade. We'll listen to a little bit of it, then we'll listen to Operation Doomsday, or technically Doomsday, and then we'll get into the whole J. Cole thing here in a second. But I was so happy to listen to it because it's such a great song by Sade. And of course, MF Doom follows it up with a great sample on Operation Doomsday. Here's Kiss of Life, Sade, coming up next. Hold on. I kind of played the part where it was being sampled. Here's the start of it. Just a little bit of context. Hold on. What is playing right now? What is that? Hold on. Oh, sorry. I was like, that was literally Sade, sorry. I don't know why it just started to play like that. But that part where she's saying, like, when I was led to you, I knew you were the one for me. That's the part that MF Doom samples. I don't know why I paused it to tell you that, but I don't know. I thought it was good. This is the part that samples. Oh, man. Let me, I'll just say this. I think Sade is absolutely fantastic. I haven't really talked about my vinyl because it's just, you know, like, I've had some issues with some artists that I want to purchase vinyl from, but I don't also want to have to go through all the red tape and stuff like that. Regardless, I think a year or two ago, I'm on eBay, and eBay's a great place to go and look for not only used vinyl, but also new vinyl. So I'm on eBay, and I'm looking at some used vinyl, or not used, but like new vinyl, and I come across, for some weird reason, this collection of Sade. And Sade is, of course, if you don't know, she's this 1980s jazz singer. Not only was some of her music featured, obviously, on Operation Doomsday by MF Doom, but also she's the infamous singer that sung Smooth Operator, you know, don't need to ask, he's a smooth operator. You know what? Hold on. I'll just play it for you. I just don't understand why I try and sing when literally I have a cache of just awesome music right in front of me. We'll play literally until the chorus.
Bye.
Great track. Everybody knows what it is. Everybody's heard of this song. If you haven't, wow, you're a loser. Yep, you're a loser. You have to know what Smooth Operator is. Everybody knows what the song is about. Anyways, pause the music for a couple minutes. Anyways, I was watching this video of this guy reviewing this, talking about this video game console called a Retroid Pocket 4 versus an Odin 2. I'm not really going to get into the specifics of it because it's super nerdy. And he talked about how, you know, when you start spending specifically on these consoles, when you start spending a certain amount of money on these consoles, you know, it's not just your everyday purchase. You are making a investment into, you know, something that brings you happiness. True, it's fleeting happiness, but it's happiness regardless. And that should be taken very seriously. And when I purchased this album a couple of years ago, I made a absolutely monumental investment into my happiness, not only because the raw album is fantastic, the best of Sade is absolutely fantastic, but also as a vinyl record and as an MP3. I just played for you, obviously, some MP3s, but the album as a whole feeds into musical history, as we will get into in a second with Operation Doomsday with MF Doom, and how that album uses Kiss of Life and one of the best tracks, in my opinion, on the album as well. Let's listen to a little bit of it.
Drop, hold mics like ponytails tight and bobble ops. Stop, stick around, come through and dig the sound on the flop round 6060 cycle. Who throws a dick around? Bound to go 3-plat. Came to destroy rap. It's an intricate plot of a B-boy strap. Fem stat cats get kidnapped. Then release a statement to the press. Let the rest know who did that. Metal fist terrorist, claim responsibility. Broken household name usually set in hostility. What is MF, you silly? I like to take men's to the end for 2 milli. That's an audio daily double. Rappers need to fall off just to save me the trouble. Yo, watch your own back. Came in and go out alone, black. Stay in the zone, turn H2O to cognac. On Doomsday, ever since the womb till I'm back where my brother went, that's what my tumor say. Right above my government, Duma lay. Either unmarked or engraved, hey, who's to say? I wrote this one in BCDCO section. If you don't believe me, go get bagged and checked in. Cell number 17, I'm under the top bunk. I say this not to be mean, was bad luck or pop junk. Pop the trunk on C-Cyberpunk, leave him left scraped. God forbid, if ain't no escape, blame MF tape. Definition supervillain, a killer who loved children. One who is well skilled in destruction as well as building. While Sidney Sheldon teaches the trife to be trifer. I'm trading science fiction with my man, a live lifer. A pie pipe, a holler, a rhyme, a dollar and a dime. Do a sting, ring around the white collar crime. Get out my face, asking about my case, need toothpaste. Professor Mint, monkey style nigga to death to death. And dope fiends still in their teens. Shook niggas turn witness. Real men's mind their own business. That's the difference between sissy pissy rappers is double dutch. How come I hold a microphone double clutch? COs make rounds, never have ox found. On shakedown, lockdown, wet dreams of Fox Brown. On Doomsday, ever since the wound till I'm back where my brother went. That's what my tumor say. Right up on my government tumor lay. Either unmarked or engraved, hey, who's to say? Doomsday, ever since the womb till I'm back to the essence, read it off the tomb. Either engraved or unmarked grave, who's to say? Pass the mic like pass the peas like they used to say. Some MFers don't like how Sally walk. I tell y'all fools is hella cool, her ladies from Cali talk. Never let it interfere with the Yeti ghetto slang. Nicknames off nipple and tip of nipples metal fang. Known amongst hoes for the bang bang. Known amongst foes for flow without no talking orangutans. Only gin and tang, guzzle out a rusty tin can. Me and this mic is like yin and yang. Clang, crime don't pay. Listen, you, it's like me holding up the line at the kissing booth. I took her back to the truck, she was uncool, spitting all out the sunroof, threw her missing tooth. But then she has a sexy voice, sound like Jazzy Joyce. So I turned it up faster than a speeding knife, strong enough to please a wife, able to drop today's math in the 48 keys of life. Cut the crap for his rap, touch the mic and get the same thing an A-Rab would do to you for stealing. What the devil, he's on another level. It's a word, no a name, MF the super villain. Doomsday.
By the way, I was a little bit wrong. It wasn't that they sampled Sade. It's that they recreated, I guess, the sample. They recreated part of that song. They recreated the song. Because this isn't Sade. Hold on, let me turn it up. It's not Sade, but it is. It kind of sounds like Sade, which is the confusing bit. I always get it confused because I'm like, man, that's Sade's song, Kiss of Life. But she says, I think, I swear the whole world could feel you MC, you know, could feel your raps. I think that's what she's saying. But regardless, it sounds fantastic. Talking about that investment in music and dopamine and stuff like that. Again, I talked about how investing in that Sade album that's sitting right behind me, the best of Sade, great, great investment by yours truly. Great job by me. But also, I have pretty much the entire catalog of MF Doom. I have Food, Mad Villainy, Parts 1 and Parts 2. The only Mad Villainy that I don't have is just the raw, uncut instrumentals, which I'm thinking about getting as well. And Operation Doomsday. I have, I think, his full discography besides like the like other collaborative albums that he has. But beyond that, I got it all. And having those albums, even though I don't really listen to those albums that much, I've listened to all those albums, listen to like all those albums, like at least three, maybe four times. Maybe not Mad Villainy, because Mad Villainy is kind of new. But it's like all these albums, all these fantastic albums, listen to it multiple times. Like every single, you know what? I've very rarely in the last year or so bought vinyl and been like, man, I regret buying that record. I regret buying that album. I don't even think at this point, like early on when I first started to buy vinyl, I was like, man, I'm buying records that I don't really like that much. Whether it's the album itself, the cut of the music, whatever. I'm like, man, I don't really like that album. It's like very, very rarely nowadays do I find myself in that exact same predicament where I'm like, man, I don't like the albums that I got. I'm very happy for it. I want to play something that's a little bit fun, little bit nostalgic, but it's super fantastic, super obscure, super niche. Nobody really knows about it unless you know about it. Here's Harbor Hustle after a 30-second Disney Plus Hulu ad. I don't know. I keep getting this ad, by the way, and it's like, guys, I bought Disney Plus so that way I could watch X-Men, right? I already got it. You don't have to keep on selling me a product. You're wasting your time. Jesus Christ. Here's Harbor Hustle. Won't tell you where it's from, but I'll tell you after. Here it is. You should probably know where it's from at some point in time. It's from The Simpsons, if you can't tell. That's the song. There's usually like an ending to the track, but I guess they didn't play it. That is from The Simpsons Hit and Run, a awesome video game that I cannot wait to play in like a week and a half to 2 weeks. As soon as my Odin 2 comes, I am playing and beating The Simpsons Hit and Run. Simpsons Hit and Run, probably one of the best TV licensed games out there, but to be honest with you, the South Park, The Stick of Truth, Fractured Butthole, both of those games are fantastic as well. Simpsons Hit and Run, awesome video game, where it's kind of like the GTA for kids at the time, where you can't steal cars, but you can like ride along in cars as well and stuff like that. It's a fun game. It's a fun racing game too. Really wish they would have made another game, another Simpsons Hit and Run game. And I'm not sure if, because I think I looked a lot, I'm not sure if you could get the Simpsons Hit and Run on PlayStation 3 via the PlayStation Network store. Because it was a PS2 game, it was a PS2, GameCube, and Xbox game. I felt like you probably should have been able to have gotten it off the PlayStation store, but I would have gotten it 10 times over if it was available, but I guess not. That song is specifically from Lisa's level, where you are playing on like the outskirts of town with like the dock and stuff like that. And it's easily like the best level in the fucking game, best soundtrack, best aesthetics, best level design, in my opinion, outside of probably Bart's level, which is technically Bart's levels, because there's a lot of reused levels and stuff like that, but it's like, it's Bart's level, it's Lisa's level, that are kind of two of the best levels in the game. But Lisa's level, perfect. Perfection. Also, you get a cool car as well. Anyways, I thought I would just play that song for you. Taylor Swift's newest album comes out next week. We'll listen to Shakira's album next week as well, because I'll probably only listen to a couple of tracks by Taylor Swift. I could start Shakira's album, but I really want to give it some time here. Plus, I want to get this J. Cole stuff out of the way. How much time do I have? I may be able to listen to it. I don't know. It's just like, if I want to have something else to go to use as backup. I'll save Shakira for next week. And the reason why is I want to have something just in case if I don't like Taylor Swift's newest album next week. Like, just in case. Because I didn't like Midnights. And I sat here like a stooge running through the entire track list of Midnights. And I was like, oh God, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. I liked 4, maybe 5 tracks off of it, but I wasn't going like goo goo and gaga for it. There was Lavender Haze, Antihero, Bejeweled. There was some tracks that I liked it. I liked on it, but you want to know what? I still haven't listened to the deluxe, the super deluxe edition. By the way, Taylor Swift, when are you going to release the Long Pond Studio Sessions? Taylor Swift RSD. What is she going to release? Swift. I'm trying to like look at it. Hold on. What is it? I'm on like, hold on. God, man, this website has like 99 bajillion different ads on it. I guess not. I'm not sure. So, Taylor Swift. So, Record Store Day is next week on Saturday. And it's right after her release of the Tortured Poets Department. Taylor Swift is super huge when it comes to records. Like, she sells a lot of records. Taylor has had a very unique collaboration with Record Store Day, especially and specifically, it was either last year or the year before, with the Long Pond Studio Sessions. The Long Pond Studio Sessions is actually why I got into vinyl, because I was walking around in Walmart, or I was not even walking around. I was walking around in Walmart, and I was also looking for Long Pond Studio Sessions, like, on her website. I was looking for the vinyl version of it, because I was like, man, wouldn't it be awesome if I could have that on vinyl? And weirdly enough, she didn't sell that. Long Pond Studio Sessions is the live performance of Folklore performed by Taylor Swift during the pandemic with a bunch of other collaborators, the people that essentially made the album with her. It's great. It's great. I love the Long Pond Studio Sessions over the actual original cut of Folklore. The problem is, A, limited being selective and subjective, but she had limited quantities of it. And by limited, I mean she had like 75,000 copies in the United States. And guess what? They all sold out pretty freaking quickly. So I'm very interested to see whether or not there will be more from Taylor Swift in regards to that. I don't know if she'll essentially re-release this edition, because she only made it once. She only released it once, and it's her live concert. I couldn't believe that she released like such an important album as a Record Store Day exclusive, you know, like a huge album, huge. But she did. So I don't know. We'll see. But she was the ambassador, I think, last year or the year before. So there you go. Hold on. Trying to like look at the Record Store Day. releases, just to make sure I don't want anything. But yeah, bit shocked that she released that album, and by that album I mean to say Long Pond Studio Sessions on Record Store Day. And I'm also shocked that she has not re-released it, but we'll see. Anything else? Oh yeah, I was gonna talk about covers and how I wanted to make this like this compilation of covers, or this like collection, excuse me, of covers by this band called the Henley Street Country Club, which when I first saw these people perform, or when I first started to get these like these people linked in my description, not in my description, excuse me, but just like linked in my algorithm, I was just like, why am I getting linked these people? And then it's just like I started to hear their covers, and I was like, holy fucking shit, this is actually good music. Sorry. And actually good covers of the music that they are covering. Because usually it's like I would have people, or I've seen people essentially cover music, and they usually add their own artistic spin to it. And no offense to those people, I really don't want to hear your own artistic spin on someone else's music, because usually it's not going to be very good. I don't think I can remember off the top of my head a cover where I was like, yep, that cover was better than the original. I don't think that's ever happened for me. And if it has, it's like, it's very, very rare. And it's not worth like just running through the drudgery that is like cover music sometimes. It's just like, because there's a lot of cover music that's just not very good. Now, I was listening to this country club slash band come out and perform, and I was like, oh my god, they're actually kind of good. Here's them covering Diana Ross's I'm Coming Out, which is shockingly, shockingly good. Hold on, I have to unmute it. Here we go.
Right? Like,
It's not Diana Ross, but it is a very faithful, rendition of Diana Ross, which is why I can respect it so much. It's like, look, if you're going to sing a song, if you're going to cover a song, it has to be in line with the song's original depiction, right? Or creation, so to speak, right? Like, I don't want, like, take for example the Mona Lisa. I don't want someone to recreate the Mona Lisa as this, like, gory, graphic, violent painting, you know? This painting, the Mona Lisa, depicted the person, I'm guessing, Mona Lisa, as a normal person, essentially, right? Like, it's a self-portrait. And so, kind of like in that same line of artistic expression, a recreation or a covering or whatever whatever the painting version of it is called, a redrawing, whatever it's called, should be in line with that original artistic expression. And I think the interesting thing that the Heinle Club, Street Country Club, does is they have these very, very much true and consistent recreations instrumentally and vocally of these songs. And I love, weirdly enough, a lot of the soul songs, like the soul R&B songs that they recreate, because I'm like, they're pretty faithful depictions of the original tracks. And the interesting thing is that they're Australian. Like, they aren't American, which, to be honest with you, I can kind of tell, because it's like only Americans would take a fucking song and, like, cover it, but they will then add their own artistic, like, version of it. Like, they'll be like, I want to cover this song, but also let me do my own thing. And I'm like, you can't even sing the song right. Why do you think people want to listen to your artistic depiction of the song? I'm like, sing this song right. But yeah, I thought they did an amazing job. I was like, it's not Diana Ross, obviously. But it's like, the cool thing is, right? If I did want to listen to Diana Ross, I got her records right behind me as well. If I wanted to listen to I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross, I would just listen to I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross. It's like, I want to hear somebody else do it, but I also don't want to hear really significant enough changes. I'm a little bit of a hypocrite in that manner. I apologize. That I'm not sorry. I'm sorry that I'm not sorry. But yeah, a little bit of a fun little clip that I just wanted to share. Let's get into this whole Kendrick Lamar fiasco with J. Cole. Because J. Cole is just, oh gosh, he's taking L after L. J. Cole did not want the smoke with Kendrick Lamar. J. Cole did not want Kendrick Lamar to diss him. He wanted Kendrick Lamar to, in the words of Roman Reigns, acknowledge him. Roman Reigns is still my tribal chief, not Solo Sikoa. But he wanted Kendrick Lamar to be like, Kendrick is my guy. Kendrick is awesome. Kendrick is this. Kendrick is that. Ba, 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 ba. Instead, what really happened was J. Cole essentially found out that Kendrick Lamar doesn't really respect him that much as an artist. Or maybe specifically, he doesn't view him as his peer. He certainly doesn't view Drake as his peer either. Should we listen to A$AP Rocky's newest thing? Apparently A$AP Rocky got him as well. I mean, Drake is just getting bent over the barrel 9 different ways this Sunday, to be honest with you. But Kendrick Lamar doesn't see Drake as his peer. He doesn't see J. Cole as his peer. And so J. Cole comes out with what is, in my opinion, one of the worst diss tracks I have ever seen in my entire life, where he just straight up lies for like 3-4 minutes or something like that. And his disses are really incoherent, non-intelligible, and bad. And then I have his fans saying to me, well, 24, it doesn't matter if the disses are true or not. What matters is that they are cutting and they are deep. And I'm like, well, they aren't cutting or deep if they are lies. That's the whole thing, right? It would be different, for example, if Pusha T didn't come out, or excuse me, came out and was like, Drake has a child that he's hiding, right? And Drake actually didn't have a child that he was hiding. It's like, oh, the diss track just has no meat to it. It has no credibility to it. It has no punch to it because Pusha T is lying about Drake. That's the difference, right? In regards to J. Cole saying that Kendrick Lamar's second album was terrible when his second album is easily his masterpiece and all this other stuff, it's just like, dude, you're not doing yourself any favors. And less than a week later, I think it was literally the day that I had released that last Music Matters, that last podcast, where J. Cole then came out during his music festival, Dreamville. There we go. That's what it's called. He came out while he was performing, and he had this monologue. Oh, wait. Hold on. Give me a second. I forgot to unmute my computer audio. There we go. Here we go. Sorry.
I've been happy. I've been moving on my own accord, off my own desires, my own wants. Now, why am I saying all of that? All of that shit led me up into this point. 10 years later, after this song, I'm here. Here I am. I've been just chasing my shit. You know what I mean? Like following my dream and just trying to like head to the fall off in the way that I wanted to do it. And so I put out this project on Friday called Might Delete Later. I don't know how many people done checked it out or whatever, but I put this project out. And I swear to God, I'm so proud of that project because I know one, it's just a lead up. It's just an EP that leads me up to this thing that I've been working on for a long time. And I know the work it took to get to a certain type of skill level. And I love this shit. So that shit mean a lot to me, right? So I'm so proud of that project, except for one part. It's one part of that shit that make me feel like, man, that's the lamest shit I ever did in my fucking life, right? And I know this is not what a lot of people want to hear. I know I can hear my niggas up there right now like, nah, don't do that. But I got to keep it 100 with y'all, right? I damn near had a relapse, right? Because y'all heard some shit that happened two, three weeks ago, however long it was. Y'all heard that bazooka that was dropped on the motherfucking game, right? So all of this time of me moving on my own accord, for the first time I was tested. Why am I tested? Because I got the world and I got my niggas like, what you gonna do, Cole? My niggas like, big boy, I must have had 1,000 missed calls. Oh my fucking God. Text flooded. I couldn't even answer my shit. Nigga, it's wartime. Boom, 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 right? Niggas want to see blood. And I was conflicted because, one, I know my heart, you know what I mean? And like, I know how I feel about my peers, these two niggas that I just been blessed to even stand beside in this game, let alone chase their greatness, right? So I felt conflicted because I'm like, bro, I know I don't really feel no way, but the world want to see blood. I don't know if y'all can feel that, but the world want to see blood. So I say all of that to say, in my spirit of trying to like get this music out, I ain't gonna lie to y'all, I moved in a way that I feel spiritually bad on me. Like I try to like jab my nigga back and I try to keep it friendly. But at the end of the day, when I listen to it and when it comes out and I see the talk, that shit don't sit right with my spirit. That shit make me feel, that shit disrupts my fucking peace. So what I want to say right here tonight is, in the midst of me doing that and in that shit, trying to find a little angle and downplay this nigga's fucking catalog and his greatness, I want to say right now tonight, How many people think Kendrick Lamar is one of the greatest motherfuckers to ever touch a fucking microphone? Dreamville, y'all love Kendrick Lamar, correct? As do I. So I just want to come up here and be like, publicly be like, bro, that was the lamest, like, goofiest shit. And I say all that to say, it made me feel like 10 years ago when I was moving incorrectly. And I pray that God align me back up on my purpose and on my path. You know what I mean? I pray that my nigga really didn't feel no way. And if he did, my nigga, I got my chin out. Take your best shot. I'm going to take that shit on the chin, boy. Do what you do. You know what I mean? Like, all good. Like, it's love. And I pray that, you know, I pray that y'all are like, forgive a nigga for like the misstep, and then I can get back to my true path. Because I ain't going to lie to y'all. Past 2 days felt terrible. Like, it let me know how good I've been sleeping for the past 10 years. So all of that to say, man, I want to now perform the song that's a reminder to me of getting back on the right path and getting in tune with God. And the name of the song is called Love Yours. I want to do that for y'all right now.
And that's the end of the monologue. Now, full disclosure, I was going to come out here onto the podcast, and I was going to roast the shit out of J. Cole for putting that garbage out. Because I'm a Kendrick Lamar fan. I was about to roast the shit out of J. Cole. But you have to put sometimes your anger, your vitriol aside. And I am going to roast J. Cole a little bit. However, I do side, and I get what, like, Anthony Fantano came out with a very interesting video kind of covering the topic. He was like, I think that it's very big of J. Cole to come out and to admit that he was wrong and to take responsibility for it and all this good stuff. It takes a very mature person to do that. And I was like, oh man, J. Cole shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have released a music video, and not a music video, but a song. But I was like, man, if that's how he truly feels, and it's obvious that he never wanted the smoke with Kendrick Lamar to begin with, but if that's how he honestly feels, it's like, I can't really fault him that much. As much as I want to. As much as I want to freaking go over the top rope like I'm freaking Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare, and smash J. Cole, I kind of can't. I kind of can't. Because he's kind of punished himself. Can I say that the diss track is still whack? Yes. Can I say that it's ridiculous? Yes. Can I say that he shouldn't have done it? Absolutely. He said it himself. But it is a bit cringy for me to just go over the top rope and be like, yep, like J. Cole made a mistake about releasing this album when he's already admitted as such. J. Cole's done this. J. Cole's done that. J. Cole's made this mistake, that mistake, whatever the case. It's like he's admitted it himself. He's admitted that it's whack. He's admitted it. It's like, what else do I want from him? I was even going to play The Heart Part 4 by Kendrick Lamar. You know, why not? Why not? I'll play a little bit of it and I'll explain why.
Don't tell a lie on me. I won't tell the truth about you.
My fans can't wait for me to sun your punk ass and crush your whole little shit. I'll big pun your punk ass, you a scared little bitch. Tiptoeing around my name, nigga, you're lame. And when I get at you, homie, don't you tell me you was just playing.
Oh, I was just playing, K-Dot. Come on, you know a nigga rock with you, bro.
Shut the fuck up, you sound like the last nigga I know. Might end up like the last nigga I know. Oh, you don't wanna clash, nigga, I know. I put my foot on the gas, head on the floor, hopping out before the vehicle crash. I'm on the roll, yelling 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I am the greatest rapper alive. So damn great, motherfucker, I've died. What you hearing now is a paranormal vibe. House on the hill, house on the beach, nigga.
Facts.
A condo in Compton, I'm still in reach, nigga.
Facts.
I'm fresh out the water, I'm about to breach, nigga. The 5 foot giant woke up out of his sleep, nigga. Oh yeah, more cars, more leers, more bars, no peers, no scars, no fear. Fuck y'all, sincere, I heard the whispers, I curved the whispers, you know what the risk is. Earthed in digits, your body reverting to stiffness. The whole world going mad, bodies is adding up. Markets about to crash, niggas is fake rich, bitches is fake bad. Blacks that act white,
whites that do the dab. Donald Trump is a chump, know how we feel, punk. Tell them that God coming. And Russia need a replay button, y'all up to something. Electoral votes look like memorial votes, but America's truth ain't ignoring the votes.
The hearts, by the way, are kind of like songs that he releases to the lead up or in the lead up to an album release. So The Heart Part 4 was the song that he released in the lead up to the album Damn, which I think is a great album. And the beginning that I played for you was literally parallel to kind of the situation that J. Cole kind of found himself in. He snuck diss him when Kendrick Lamar came at him. He was like, I was just playing. I don't really want the smoke anymore. And it had very, very similar parallels. The Heart Part 4 had very similar parallels to the J. Cole situation to such a degree that literally J. Cole made that announcement on April 6th, right? Or something like that? What was it?
When I get at you, homie, don't you tell me you was just
I'm
playing.
Replaying it.
Come on, you know a nigga rock with you, bro.
Shut the fuck up. You sound like the last nigga I know. Might end up like the last nigga I know. Oh, you don't want to clash, nigga, I know. I put my foot on the gas, head on the floor, hopping out before the vehicle crash. I'm on the roll, yelling 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I am the greatest rapper alive. So damn great, motherfucker, I've died. What you hearing now is a paranormal vibe. House on the hill, house on the beach, nigga.
Facts.
A condo in Compton, I'm still in reach, nigga.
Facts.
I'm fresh out the water, I'm about to breach, nigga. The 5-foot giant woke up out of his sleep, nigga. Oh yeah, more cars, more leers, more bars, no peers, no scars, no fear. Fuck y'all, sincere, I heard the whispers, I curved the whispers, you know what the risk is. Earthed in digits, your body reverting to stiffness. The whole world going mad, bodies is adding up. Markets about to crash, niggas is fake rich, bitches is fake bad. Blacks that act white, whites that do the dab. Donald Trump is a chump, know how we feel, punk. Tell him that God coming. And Russia need a replay button, y'all up to something. Electoral votes look like memorial votes, but America's truth ain't ignoring the votes. It's blasphemy, how many go blasphemy? I prophesized on my last song, you laughed at me. But when the shit get bracket, don't you ask for me. How many leaders go tell you the truth after me? G Malone, big bro, kudos to him. I was two O's from a M, trying to be big as M. 30 minutes later, my future favors the legendary status of a hip-hop rhyme savior. Salmon and capers, fame and lawsuits. You looking at me and Chucks, I'm looking at y'all suits. Me and Top Dog playing rock, paper, scissors in court. A real hustler lose money just to go get some more. I said it's like that. Drop one classic, came right back. Another classic, right back. My next album, the whole industry on the ice pack. With TOC, you see the flames in my EYEs. It's not a game and the whole world is going mad, daddy. You're sad, daddy. My only advice, go and get you a bag, daddy. Baca, on trial trying to portray a boxer. Beating up on my niggas while the CEOs watch them. Tables turn, lesson learned, my best look. You jump sides on me, now you about to meet Westbrook. Go celebrate with your team and let victory vouch you. Just know the next game played, I might slap the shit out you. Technical foul, I'm flagrant, I'm foul. They throwing me out, you throwing the towel. Look at the crowd, they...
Nah, I don't like that.
Look at my smile, I'm smirking. Calm but urgent.
That ain't the style. Fuck.
So many verses, you live in denial.
Fuck.
So many verses, I never run out.
What? You're making them nervous, the music is loud.
Ho, Jay-Z, Hall of Fame, sit your punk ass down. So that means you ain't bigger than rapping.
What else?
So that means no more playing the back scenes.
What else?
My spot is solidified if you ask me.
What else?
My name is identified as that king. I let y'all worry about the list, I'm on some other shit. A difference between accomplishments and astonishments. You know what time it is, Annie up, this is him forever. Y'all got till April the 7th to get y'all shit together. Let's get it.
That last line, you have till 8. I didn't realize I didn't play it, but I was like, did I play it? It's late. It's 2:00 in the morning. But that last line, you have till April 7th to get your shit together. Literally, last week on April 7th, J. Cole comes out. He's like, I don't want the smoke. I want to give up, which I thought was just horrific timing because it literally played into the whole Part 4. By Kendrick Lamar. Like, the irony there is just honest to God phenomenal. It's just shocking to me. Hold on. Let me see something. Sorry. I was just looking at this little clip that somebody made of Roman Reigns having this kind of this track. What is it? This like compilation track of Roman Reigns' career being played over Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst. Should I listen to the ASAP Rocky diss track? I do. You know what? I do and I don't. I'm tired and I want to watch League of Legends, but I feel like I should. You know what? I'll say it. I guess it's like, apparently, hold on. Let me listen to this thing. Apparently, ASAP Rocky slept with Drake's baby mama back in the day. Apparently, that's what it is. Apparently, you know what? I don't even have the patience for this crap. Because I kind of don't care. I like ASAP Rocky a lot as an artist and as a rapper, but I kind of just like, I don't know. I don't really care about this type of stuff. Look, a lot of people are saying like, oh man, just wait until Drake, you know, just wait until Drake comes out with his newest, biggest, you know, diss. He's going to really diss Kendrick Lamar and Metro Boomin and ASAP Rocky. And it's just like, I'm like, when has he done that? Like, I'll hold my breath, or I'm not holding my breath, excuse me, on Drake coming out with some fresh hot fire that's really going to put all of these artists on blast, because that's not something that he's done. That's not something that he's ever done. That's not something that he will continue to do or that he will ever do. It's something that is not really in line with who he is as an artist. It's not something that I see him doing ever, because if and when he has a diss track on anyone, it will probably be embarrassing. He will have to have the whole fleet of ghostwriters that he has under his payroll help him write whatever abomination that he will come out with when he does quote unquote respond to Kendrick Lamar and all of these other artists. He is not someone who likes having smoke. As far as I know in my career, and not in my career, excuse me, as far as I know in J. Cole's discography, J. Cole, damn it, Drake, as far as I know, with my experience with, did I say J. Cole? I meant to say Drake. In my experience with Drake, Drake does not and kind of has not really ever gone out of his way and been like, I'm going to disc this person and I'm going to talk shit about this person and yada, yada, yada. I'm not really going to respond. He never responds. He never, and some people are like, he's too above it. And it's just like, he cannot respond. That is why he does not respond. It's not because he is above the drama. It's because he literally cannot. And I've never really seen him really say anything or do anything that kind of changes that narrative, to be honest with you. And so for me, it's just like, I'll believe it when I see it. In regards to Drake, I think he will probably just let this kind of just move on or fade out, because people have been dissing it. I mean, this is what is it? Like, this has already happened multiple times before. So it's just like, I don't know. I don't think this is really something that has to, that I don't think this is really something that will, like, that we'll see Drake do. I will be shocked if he does, to be honest with you. Anyways, I'm peacing out for tonight. I'll see you Monday. We'll talk about the draft next week. And then the week after, mock draft. Because the draft is coming up real fast. As well as playoffs in the NBA. I mean, speaking of playoffs, by the way, shout out to SKT. SK Telecom. Esports team featuring one of the greatest League of Legends players of all time in Faker. They're starting. I mean, it's just so late in the morning. They're playing games in South Korea, but it's so late in the morning that literally I have their game on right now. I've been watching it for like the last 20, 30 minutes. And a lot of people think that SKT is going to lose this series. It's the LCK playoffs. It's the region. The LCK is the Korean region, excuse me. So people are like, SKT's going to lose. SKT's going to lose. SKT sucks. And they're making excuses. Faker is making excuses. They're getting doxed or DDoSed by losers on the internet. And they're just like, oh my God, Faker is coming out with excuses. And, you know, instead of just saying that they played bad because they got like swept in one series like a couple weeks ago in the playoffs, at the start of the playoffs. And people were like, Faker made excuses, yada, yada, yada. And they're beating the crap right now out of Hanwoo Life 2-6. They just won a huge fight over Dragon. And they're now going after the Baron. Hanwoo Life, don't you dare fucking fight it. Don't you dare fucking fight it. You fight it, you're dead. Oh, he's dead. He's dead. They got the Shazwani. They're going to take the Baron. They're probably going to get more objectives on the map. They're clearing out house. SKT's back on fucking top. They never fucking left. Fuck everybody else. It's SKT all the fucking way. SKT's back, baby. Thank Christ. Oh my God, what an awesome ult by the Taliyah by Faker. But yes, I'm super juiced up and I'm super jazzed about SKT. I'm probably going to I'm going to stay up all night long watching the rest of this series. But I will see you on Monday for more, ladies and gentlemen, right here, 24's Podcast.